The goal for this show is to help you, our listening audience, make better decisions. If you are listening live today, then find the community chat room section of octalkradio.net's website, log in, post your thoughts and comments. Our capable producer, Paul, will be checking them, bringing them to our attention, and possibly I can work them in today to my featured guest interview with Betsy Thagard, who is the founder and CEO of Bee Toffee. Betsy, welcome to Critical Mass, the radio show, and it's a pleasure to have you on the program today.
Thank you, Rick. It's a pleasure to be with you as well.
Why don't we start the interview very simply, Betsy, by asking for you to talk a little bit about your professional background that predates starting Bee Toffee.
All right. Well, gosh, I've always loved to work, and at 15 and a half, I started my and had my first job at the McDonald's down the street. Went on to work at Nordstrom for years and in title insurance, and I've always loved sales and working with people. And after my kids went away to college, I decided I've loved to cook and entertain, and I decided I wanted to make something not everyone could master to give as gifts certain times of year of the year. And that's when I came up with the idea of Bee Toffee. And I've got to say that I owe the start of my business to two special people in the industry, of course, besides my family and friends who gave me all the encouragement. The two people were Shelley Register from A Market and Mike Matthews from Primelli's Market, who have given me incredible feedback and tremendous support and have carried Bee Toffee since the beginning, fall of 2009.
It certainly helps to start a business as an entrepreneur with a couple people in your corner, especially if they can also purchase your product and help to sell it. That's always an added advantage as well, isn't it, Betsy?
It is. It really is. And it was fabulous for them to give me the feedback. And then, of course, strategically place it on their shelves for their customers to see when they first came in, you know, come into the store, which is always a fabulous bonus.
So you mentioned a little bit about the inspiration, but could you go a little deeper on that subject? You know, I love to have entrepreneurs on the show. I think creating a business from scratch or from nothing is probably the hardest thing to do in the business world. And I really enjoy when entrepreneurs are on the show whose inspiration and genesis for their business kind of comes out of their personal life or a talent that they have. And I sense that from our earlier conversations, that's part of the inspiration for Bee Toffee. But could you share a little bit more about that process with our audience?
Sure. Well, I wanted to make something that not everybody could master and to give as gifts, you know, different times of the year. And I wanted to come up with something that was beautiful to look at and fabulous to taste. And I came up with toffee. And it wasn't a family recipe. It was something that I took, you know, several different recipes and tweaked it and made it my own. And when I started to have family and friends rave about it and jokingly put their bowl or the packaging that I had given them back, you know, at my home saying that they wanted it refilled, I thought, gosh, maybe I've got something here. And then people started saying, you really need to start marketing this and selling it. And I, you know, for a long time thought, oh gosh, you're just being nice, and then it continued, and I have always dreamed of owning my own business, and I thought, you know what, so many times people talk about it, but they never implement it, and I thought, you know what, I'm going to just go for it. What have I got to lose? And that's when, of course, you know, the two people I spoke about earlier came into play and helped to make it happen. And, you know, I had two incredible stores to start off with and then have been fortunate that the word of mouth has continued as well.
You said, you know, I'm always looking for learning moments, teachable events here on Critical Mass, the radio show. And right out of the gate, Betsy, you gave us one. So I want to kind of circle back a little bit to it and ask for your perspective on this, because you made a comment within that answer, something to the effect that there are people who have this ability and to make a product, a food product, but they don't have the take the next step, which you obviously did, which is to create a company around that. I too have observed a number of people who really do make a differentiated tasting product that probably has marketability and business potential, but for whatever reason haven't found the inspiration or the ambition to take that next step. What were those early few moments like, weeks, months, whatever, when you made the decision to productize a craft that you had and to build a business around it? Can you share your thought process or at least the emotion and feeling during that time? My hope is that through our conversation, your experience may help to inspire some who are still on the sidelines to get into the game.
Sure. Well, part of it is not rushing to make those hasty, you know, make those quick decisions. My packaging, you know, is something that I'm so proud of, and it wasn't the first thing I thought of when I decided that I was going to manufacture toffee. I researched and I shopped and I went to the specialty stores and I looked online and I looked in food catalogs and all types of different places to look and become inspired by different things. And it took some time and it took a lot of research and a lot of notes. It's almost like when you're building a new home, you don't just decide, okay, I want that stone or I want that granite. You get different ideas and accumulate files and go back to it and you know, at a different time something else may pop out at you. So take the time to really make those decisions and go back to it. Don't hastily decide something, you know, for starters.
It's also a little, I did not build my business off of the skill set and ability of a recipe, et cetera, like you are doing and other entrepreneurs have done. So I only can empathetically think that it's a little bit of a risk. Maybe it's an emotional risk, where you think you have a product that will have acceptance, wide acceptance, because people love it, to really get in the marketplace and then begin to get the feedback. Now, in your case, it's been wildly accepted, and in the spirit of full disclosure, ladies and gentlemen, I've had the good fortune to taste her toffee, and it is truly a different. I highly recommend it. But anyway, I mean, there is that risk that maybe you build it and people won't, you know, take to it the way that people have told you who are friends and acquaintances, isn't there? I mean, there must be a little bit of worry.
Oh, absolutely. And I had no idea what was going to happen. I have to say, you know, I stand behind the product and love it and love the packaging. And, you know, I am so proud of everything about it. But I have to tell you, you know, that first time that I did a demo it in Pirmelli's, you know, I was fortunate again, but of course half the people that I made sure came were my family and friends to, you know, to come and cheer me on. And I have to say, that afternoon that I left, and, well, by the way, when I was there for about an hour, I sold through three cases of products, which I was excited about. Of course, at the time, you know, a lot of family and friends purchased it. So I thought, okay, my real test is once I leave here, you know, are some of those customers going to come back and actually buy the product? And I would drive by the store not wanting to go in, thinking, oh, my gosh, I wonder how it's doing. And if my husband was going in shopping, I'd say, okay, well, go and see how many canisters are on the shelves. And now I've got clients and customers that'll say to me, Betsy, you've only got four canisters left on the shelves at Pirmelli's, or I only saw two canisters on the shelf at A Market. You better get more product in there. And sure enough, you know, I'll have a phone call later that someone has called to reorder. But you always, even now, I mean, I even though I've got the, you know, the incredible feedback and response from people, it still makes me nervous. I have a new account in LA, the Patina Group, which is a huge company that is recently are going to be putting bee toffee in a few of their cafes and markets, one of them being at the Hollywood Bowl, which I'm so excited about. But I'm very nervous about that, just because you know, I hope it does as well as all the other stores go, but, you know, nothing's ever a for sure thing, and I don't ever want to think that way. I want to always be striving to do better and you know, making it the best every day that we produce it.
A question you've mentioned several times here in the early part of our interview about the importance of your packaging. Now, I guess I would ask, from your perspective as an entrepreneur who building your brand, in addition to the obvious need to have a product that has the taste like yours does, which is unbelievable.
Thank you.
Tell me about how you view the importance of the packaging and what that has meant to the relationship of the product to the kind of the brand as it's been established in the marketplace.
Well, I believe that a client or a customer really wants to see what they're getting for their money, especially, you know, in the economy the way it is now. You know, people want a good bang for their buck. And so many times in my research in the beginning, I would buy a box of candy or a box of toffee, and I'd open up the packaging, and you couldn't see what was inside, and you'd open the bag, and the bag would be half full, and, you know, it would be a disappointment. And I didn't like that, and I wanted to create a canister where you could see exactly what you were purchasing. And, you know, it's funny, although all the canisters weigh the same amount, you know, some depending on settling and things like that, look fuller than others. And so the customer has the right to go and pick the one that they actually want, but they know exactly what they're getting before they even open it. And I'm very proud that I could create it like that, and it's definitely been, you know, a huge success. It helped to make the packaging a huge success.
I've got a number of questions that we're gonna and things that I want to talk to you about. I'm so excited to have you on the program as our featured guest, and but before we do that, we're gonna take our first sponsorship break. When we get back, I'm going to ask Betsy to share from her experience and the business lessons that she's learned in her career, if she's evolved to a guiding principle, and if so, what that guiding principle is that she's using to lead and grow Bee Toffee. And so we'll be back with that answer, but first, here's a word from a sponsor.
When you use the Premier Rewards Gold Card from American Express, the rewards points can keep on multiplying. By 3 with triple points on airfare, by 2 with double points on gas and groceries, and a single point for pretty much every other dollar you spend on the card. Then, start choosing from over a million rewards to redeem all those points. Apply today and the annual fee for the first year is on us. Call 1-800-AXP-GOLD or visit axpgold.com. The annual fee for the card is $175. See terms, conditions, and restrictions at axpgold.com.
If you are an Orange County business executive, this message is for you. Do you ever feel isolated with no place to turn for advice or feedback? Who holds you accountable to your commitments in your company? Where do you find the right resources to help you and your company grow? If you have these questions, then Critical Mass for Business might be the answer for you. Critical Mass for Business is committed to helping you make better decisions. These are groups of peers running businesses just like you, providing a great sounding board to test ideas and concepts, review plans and goals, and present issues and opportunities for discussion. The result is improved strategy, accountability, people, and execution skills. If you are interested in learning more, go to www.criticalmassforbusiness.com and learn more about our executive peer group.
The Critical Mass, the radio show. This is Rick Franci with my guest, Betsy Taggart of Bee Toffee. Betsy, would you share with our audience your guiding principle?
I believe that it is that you never really know everything that you need to know about your business. And you shouldn't, because every day is a new challenge. Every day is a new learning experience. And if you felt like you knew everything, then I think you would quit, you know, evolving and changing and making it bigger and better. And And, you know, I have sleepless nights sometimes because I wake up excited about a new concept or a new idea for the company. And I just feel that's got to continue to help it grow and expand and continue the success.
The early days, building the brand, you had some people in your corner. Your strategy was and is to use specialty markets as a primary channel to your clients. Can you help our audience understand how you selected that channel as the appropriate channel for BeTaffy?
Well, I love to cook and to entertain, like I said, and so I've got my favorite specialty stores that I love to shop in, and I feel that BeTaffy is a specialty product, so it doesn't belong everywhere. It has that certain special niche, like a Dean and DeLuca shelf, which actually is one of my favorite stores that I hope to be in one of these days. And so I've got a certain look and idea for it. And so I've gone after those types of people, and I've been very fortunate because it's the look and feel of the store, and I think that's what draws the owner or the manager of the store towards it. And then, of course, once they taste it, that's the closing of the sale, which has been wonderful. But I'm not only selling just to the specialty stores. I've actually branched out to a lot of corporate accounts as well for larger businesses to have for their business retreats with their clients and you know, not only for the holidays anymore, but for gift giving throughout the year. So it's evolved a little bit with not only the specialty stores and the corporate accounts, but also my personalized gift favors for weddings and birthdays and baby showers and you know, any type of open house or special event as well.
Let's call them channels of distribution to be kind of just generic.
Sure.
The specialty markets, which shelve and inventory your product and sell it off the shelf and replenish it, and then corporate gifts, weddings, birthdays, baby showers, holidays, graduations, you know, these special events or events where they want to add your product to make it even more special. Okay, I understand that, and it makes perfect sense. My question on the first channel, so that other entrepreneurs who may be considering this as a go-to-market strategy, the good news, it sounds like, is you can get to the final decision-maker, or at least the decision-maker in the market, because maybe they're the owner-operator, and you can build a relationship with them, which is very nice. The other side of that I would think is, though, because of their regionality or their local feel and footprint, does that raise a challenge to you, or how do you deal with the fact that they have a certain radius of clients, and if you want to grow, you really, strategy, I would assume, Betsy, need to keep adding new stores that have that same local flavor and local loyalty of their clientele. Is that a challenge in the business, and how are you addressing that if it is?
Well, I have to say I've actually been so fortunate at this point that a lot of the business has come to me word of mouth, and you know, I will pick certain stores. Like I had a goal that, you know, I was heading up to LA a few months ago, and there are two fabulous stores up there that I was determined I wanted to get BeTaffy into, and I went up, I brought my my signature canister. I actually did not get to meet with either the owner or the manager of either store, but I left the product there and, you know, just stressed that I thought it would be a perfect fit for the store. And I was very fortunate that they came back and did purchase it and have actually had great success with, you know, reordering it since they've purchased it. One thing, though, that I would suggest, and I actually met with a mother and daughter not too long ago that want to start a cookie business, if you're having trouble getting into a store that you really may want to go into, an idea might be offering to do a demo in their store where they're not obligated to purchase any product from you. You're just coming in strictly to do a demo of your product, to just see the feedback and the response of their customers. And then, of course, whatever sold at that time, then the store, you know, will reimburse you for it. It gives the entrepreneur an idea of whether their product's, you know, sellable, and it also gives the store an idea of how fabulous your product could be and how well it could do in their store as well.
What a no-risk opportunity for the store owner to kind of see how the product moves and how well-received it is. And as you're explaining that, Betsy, I'm thinking, what a great advantage it is to have a product that you get this instant feedback, either from the clients or, in many cases, it sounds like you've been able to get your product in the mouth of the store owner, and they fall in love with the taste of it, and then they're wired to just kind of support you and bring your product onto their shelf. So just what a marvelous opportunity your business provides you to be able to kind of actually have the decision maker become a user of your product and hopefully become a loyal customer as well as a, you know, helping you to distribute your product.
Yes, yes. It brings up a quick story I'll tell with my very first demo that I did. And this older gentleman came up to me and he tasted the product. And he just stood there for a little bit, and he said, wow, this is fabulous. Very, very good toffee. And he says, he was probably, I don't know, about 85 years old. And he said, I just have to tell you, and I won't name the name of the company, but he said, I used to work for the company with the pink can. And, you know, we all know who that is. And I have to say, you will give them a run for their money. Congratulations. And he left, and I thought, oh, my gosh, I feel so honored to have been, you know, for him to put it in the same category because, you know, Almond Roca has been around forever. And a few minutes later, I get a phone call on the store line, and I'm thinking, that's crazy. Who's calling me? It was the gentleman again calling back to just say, I just wish you great success and know that you will do well and achieve great things. And that has stuck with me since that day, you know, in 2009, and it just made me so proud.
Sometimes people don't realize the impact they can have on a young entrepreneur's kind of outlook by giving you that type of credible, inspirational feedback when they're really just, it sounds like he was just kind of talking from the heart too, not intending to do other than just to give you what his thinking and feelings were at the moment.
Absolutely.
Oh, okay. So I'm going to kind of shift the conversation a little bit and ask if you could, because we've talked about so many good things around Bee Toffee, can you think about a current challenge that's facing the business and the steps that you've begun to take or are planning to take in an attempt to mitigate that challenge from affecting your growth plans and the business in general?
Absolutely. Well, besides this, if I could clone myself to about 10 other people, that would be a fabulous thing. But I would say it's keeping up with the demand and the daily growth of the business. I'm starting to, you know, feel like I'm outgrowing the commercial kitchen that I'm in, and so it's whether finding my own property and building out my own commercial kitchen or looking into the co-packer route of someone that could, you know, take my recipe, of course, you know, keeping it a secret and helping me to produce it on a larger scale. And of course hiring more high quality people that have the same vision for Bee Toffee that I do. And, I would say just trying to not grow too fast, but keeping one step ahead of the demands and the growth, especially getting into my busier season, you know, which, you know, I've been fortunate that I've continued to be busy through the year, but come October, November through the holidays, it'll definitely be my crazier time.
So let me ask you a question, because this is, again, kind of one of the advantages of Critical Mass, the radio show. We have entrepreneurs who have this deep experience in areas that are unique, not unique, but kind of specialized to their market. And you talked about a commercial kitchen. Help the audience to understand that transition from maybe making the product at home to then needing and finding a kitchen for a confection company that made sense for you and gave you the environment that you wanted to make your product in. Could you kind of take us through that process?
Sure. Well, actually, in the beginning, you know, I obviously was making my product at home. And when I started to look for a commercial kitchen, because one thing, you know, I know most people will know, but some starting out might not. You do actually need to manufacture your product in a commercial health certified kitchen if you want to start selling it on the store shelves. And to find a kitchen in the beginning was very difficult for me. I started looking, you know, at different catering companies and different restaurants where I could possibly borrow or, you know, pay an hourly rate and utilize the kitchen a certain amount of hours a week. And I was frustrated because, you know, I'd come back and I had more room at my own kitchen and, you know, to try to work around certain catering companies when they're whipping up garlic and you know, sautéing onions and I'm trying to make my you know, pots of toffee at the same time was a little crazy. So I've actually thought a different division of Bee Toffee, if I ever did make my own, build my own kitchen, was to be able to offer a side of it where some of these smaller companies just starting out could lease some space from me where it would just be a baker's kitchen where you're just making cakes and cookies and candies so that you don't have the interference of some of these other foods. And but I would say for somebody that's looking and starting out, I know that there is a company, and I can't think of the name of it right off the bat, but it's a commercial property that does offer their kitchens at an hourly rate, and or just going after possibly a favorite restaurant or a catering company that doesn't use their kitchens all the time.
You know, I get this mental image of this very busy commercial kitchen with a variety of chefs making different food types in there. And as you explain, you know, your concern relative to making a confection, I could see how you may not want to be in an environment where there's much harsher food types being made that could possibly come over into the flavoring is so critical for your product. So that's kind of what I was hoping to leech out of you, was that, you know, things that you see from your perspective that others may not think about, so that we can pass along just a piece of your entrepreneurial knowledge, Betsy. So thanks for giving that. And it sounds like to me, as a entrepreneur, you may have your second business kind of coming out of the belly of your first business by offering a differentiated commercial kitchen for maybe people that are looking to make, you know, products that kind of need a little different environment. So that could be a great offering here in Orange County.
Well, I would love to be able to help because, you know, the more press that I get, the more people call me just for that with that question. And I feel so many times feel bad that I've got to turn them away. Once in a while, I will tell them about the commercial kitchen where I am. But you know, I would love to just be able to have a spot that I could offer as well. It would just be take a great ease off of these people that are first starting out. Definitely.
We will take our second break here on Critical Mass, the radio show. When we come back, I'm going to ask Betsy to talk a bit about a valuable business lesson that she learned, but it came maybe through a difficult or challenging time in the business or a business experience. So, Betsy, we're going to come back and listen to your answer, but first, here is a word from a sponsor.
When you use the Premier Rewards Gold Card from American Express, the rewards points can keep on multiplying. By 3 with triple points on airfare, by 2 with double points on gas and groceries, and a single point for pretty much every other dollar you spend on the card. Then, start choosing from over a million rewards to redeem all those points. Apply today and the annual fee for the first year is on us. Call 1-800-AXP-GOLD or visit axpgold.com. The annual fee for the card is $175. See terms, conditions, and restrictions at axpgold.com.
Smart Business Network is a business-to-business multimedia company providing insight, advice, and strategy for C-level executives of fast growth, middle market, and large companies. As one of the nation's largest publishers of local management journals, under the Smart Business name, Smart Business Network publishes 19 regional print editions, presents dozens of large and small-scale business conferences and award programs, and produces a vibrant interactive digital media presence. For more information, visit us at www.sbnonline.com.
Welcome back to Critical Mass, the radio show. My guest today is Betsy Thagard, founder of BeeToffee. And before the break, we suggested that we would like to hear, if you have one, Betsy, a valuable business lesson that you learned that came through a difficult experience. Can you recall one that you would like to share with our audience today?
Well, I have to say I've been very fortunate that I haven't had too many difficult experiences. It's just realizing, and I remember saying this one day, I just wanted to make toffee, and realizing that there's just so much more to building a business than I realized. And, you know, in the beginning, it was looking for the perfect commercial kitchen, and then realizing that you need to get liability insurance. And as you grow and you go into, you know, you expand into more stores, it's smart to get and, you know, to incorporate your company, which I did from a sole proprietorship to an LLC. It just gives you that added insurance, which is something to consider. I, you know, also now need to look at, you know, the hiring of my employees and getting them on payroll adding workman's comp to my, you know, list of items, and then figuring out, you know, the best way to distribute the product. And I have to say, you know, you learn and you continue to learn every single day, and I'm still learning and I'm still growing as a business person. And I remember a big CEO that grew a company to a company worth over $100 million and sold it. I had the opportunity to sit down with him, and I remember him telling me, like I had said earlier, every day you continue to learn, and when you stop learning, that's when you should stop doing your business. So I guess it's just continuing to be open with that and willing to try anything, and if something's not quite working, to be able to be open up enough about it and be able to tweak it or try a different way and sometimes hope for the best.
Growing a business demands so much attention to the here and now, because, you know, as you very eloquently stated, there are always evolving things that you have to begin to deal with because the business requires it, especially as it's growing and kind of changing. And it's hard sometimes to totally anticipate all the requirements that will be put on you. But the key, it sounds like to me, from talking to many successful entrepreneurs here on the radio program, is dealing with them effectively once and moving on to the next challenge, and not having to revisit, although you have to constantly kind of make sure you're relevant in the marketplace. But I've heard a consistent message from entrepreneurs that you need to be able to clean your plate, so to speak, so that you can face the next day's requirements without a lot of stuff coming, you know, baggage that you bring with you as you grow. So
Absolutely.
Really making those decisions that stand for the business at the time is really critical.
Absolutely. And one of those challenges, I have to say, is, you know, I never realized that my business was going to continue to grow and that we were going to have hot summer months. And I'm dealing with, you know, beautiful toffee that's topped with this gorgeous chocolate, and what to do when you're packaging and shipping things and keeping it cool. So that is one current challenge that we've got, where we ship our product with cool packs and try to expedite shipping, but, you know, that also can get costly for the customer, and that's a challenge I definitely didn't even think about or foresee when I started this business, and you know, working in the cooler months when that's not something you have to even ever consider.
No disrespect intended, but that sounds so obvious, but I can perfectly understand how it wouldn't be something that you would even factor in until kind of you're here in the moment and you go, uh-oh, wait a minute, we got to do something a little different now.
Absolutely. And there are toffee companies that stop their shipping during the summer months. They just don't ship it at all during that time. It's either local pickup or they wait to purchase it during the cooler months when it will ship easier. But I haven't made that decision. I want to continue to make everybody happy with being able to get my product all year round. So I'll just have to continue to purchase those cool packs and get it out to them as quickly as I can.
So let me ask come back to the distribution question. What's your philosophy on online sales of your product?
Well, it's funny you ask that. I have, when I did get to talk to two different CEOs, one of them said to me, you should not do the wholesale part of the business. You should strictly concentrate on the resale or the retail internet business alone. You'll reap more of the profit and you should do it, you should concentrate on that. So it's interesting how everyone has their take on things and I just feel at this point I don't want to make a decision one way or another. I want to keep all my avenues open, and as things evolve, I may decide to go one way or the other. But at this point, I like keeping all the different options available at this point.
Do you? Let's talk about the next level of growth for Bee Toffee. Help the audience to understand, and I'm not asking for any confidential information or for you to share something that isn't ready for prime time yet, but willing to sort of help us understand how you see the next few years or months, because internet time and entrepreneurial time can accelerate, but how do you see the next level of evolution of the company? As I'm not talking about the inside of the business now, I'm talking about reaching more clients. How do you see doing that, Betsy?
Well, I recently hired a PR gal who's absolutely fabulous. And part of the reason why I think I connected with her so well is she's got incredibly great energy. And she was so excited about my product just by looking at it online. She had not ever even tasted it, and she had not ever even seen it in person. But her energy and drive was fabulous, and she has started to create some great media buzz for Bee Toffee, and it is being so well received by food critics and editors. And I recently had a request from InStyle magazine. We actually just overnighted a package to the InStyle magazine editors in New York last night, and Red Book and Oprah to feature Bee Toffee in their holiday gift guides. So I'm very, very excited about that and the buzz that she's helping to create for that. So in turn, because of all of that, if to take a step back for a second, I just had an article published in the Daily Pilot this morning, and the little buzz that it's created just in Newport Beach with a few stores that are mentioned, I can't imagine the buzz that would be created if it's in one of these national magazines. So I'm, keeping everything on the back, in the back wings to get ready to beef up my production in my kitchens and talking to several different co-packers who I may need to hire sooner than expected, and to definitely keep up with the demand of my product, because I certainly don't want to turn anybody away.
You work so hard to grow the business, to get acceptance and, get demand, and it can be a challenge as well on the fulfillment side, especially as you're stepping into your busy season anyway.
Yes.
To even multiply that again by these major publications who may drive traffic that How do you even forecast the potential of what that could mean to the business, having not done it before? And, you know, I'm not sure how long your quote-unquote lead time is to, you know, to have the right kind of raw materials to be able to manufacture enough product. But that's got to be a little bit of a – that's got to be a great challenge, at least right now, as you kind of – every time you hear somebody's interested, the other part of you, the operation side of you, has got to go, okay, well, how do I make sure I have product to fulfill that?
Yep, you're exactly right. And I just I'm preparing for it. I have no idea exactly what to expect, but I'm going to try to get all my ducks in a row and try to fulfill every request as well as I can, and you know, work and strive for the best and try to make it happen. The great thing is it's not something that, you know, the shelf life is a good month if it's not opened. Not that we want to make products that you know, far in advance, but we do have a little bit of leeway time to try to keep up with product manufacturing, especially if it's refrigerated and then shipped out to people. So I'm trying to you know, like I said, get everything organized and as well as talking to co-packers and just getting ready for that next step. It's exciting, but at the same time a little nerve-wracking, but you know, I'm going to make it happen and have fun in the process.
That comes through loud and clear. we're going to take our final break here on Critical Mass, and then I'm going to ask Betsy to share with us as much of this as she is comfortable, and that is, what's the end game for her with Bee Toffee? I know we're still, you know, she's still building the business, 2009, made a lot of progress, but just as information and kind of instructional for others who are listening to the radio program today, we're going to ask her to sort of talk about the end game on Bee Toffee. But first, here's a word from a sponsor.
If you are a Southern California business owner or executive, this message is for you. For over 17 years, Doug Gefella has been coaching executives, helping them create and improve the effectiveness of teams and individual team members. What makes Doug's approach unique and successful is his fundamental approach. Doug looks at the coaching from the perspective of the client, not the coach. Doug has helped hundreds of companies and led over 1,000 planning meetings that have changed lives and the course of many successful firms throughout Southern California. If you're interested in learning more, go to www.criticalmassforbusiness.com and learn about our executive coaching and team development. Critical Mass for Business is a professional executive coaching and team development company and is the fastest growing business advisory firm in Orange County.
Welcome back to Critical Mass, the radio show. Betsy Thagard is our guest today. She's the founder of Bee Toffee. Before the break, we said, Betsy, we're going to ask you to tell us about your exit strategy. If you don't have one yet, I can fully respect that. But if you do have a vision for what that might be like, if you could share it with our audience, we would appreciate it.
Absolutely. Well, I'm so excited that the business is growing at the rapid pace that it is. We actually just won the Blue Ribbon First Place Culinary category at the Orange County Fair and have been so fortunate to get the great press and things that we have. I hope to have the company grow and continue to be even more successful and more appealing, that possibly one day one of my great competitors may want to join forces or possibly purchase Bee Toffee. That would be a fabulous, fabulous accomplishment and a future goal, you know, when the time arises.
Do you see the product having the potential to become an iconic brand that, like other food products that have become part of the American culture, if you will? Do you see that opportunity for Bee Toffee?
You know what? I've actually seen it happening in the Newport Beach, Orange County area, you know, where the Bee Toffee craze and buzz has occurred in just our small community, and it's starting to branch out a little bit in LA County, and I would love to continue that throughout the the throughout nationally and have it continue so and grow it even more so. I figure if you don't dream it, how can it happen? So I'm going to dream it and hope and inspire for it to occur.
I would strongly encourage anyone listening either live today to the broadcast here on octalkradio.net or maybe at some point in the future as a podcast, maybe off of Apple iTunes or some other way, if you're listening to my voice at this very moment, find their website, find the specialty markets that offer Bee Toffee, and drive on by because it's well worth the experience. You really have created something that is a memorable experience. Eating your Bee Toffee it's an experience. It's more than just a delicacy for me. It was, and believe me, I'm not the type of person that has a large bent that way, a sweet tooth or whatever. That's not how I'm wired. But your product is really something quite special.
Well, thank you so much. I love when I hear people say, "I don't even like toffee, but I love Bee Toffee." Something about it—the crunch and the you know, decadency, and you know, it definitely makes me feel good. I love that everyone's enjoying it, and I hope that they will continue to for many years to come.
Do you have in the recipe, and believe me, I would never ask about what's in the recipe, but in your mind, is there a reason why that your toffee is so differentiated and that reason is fundamentally protectable by you moving forward as you continue to grow?
I think because I use only the finest and high-end ingredients, and I think that comes through in the taste, whether it's the butters or the rich chocolates or the pecan nuts. It's all the fabulous ingredients and blended together, you know, make the product what it is today.
So someone, my producer, it's a mess over here. He just, you know, he's beside himself, drooling almost. But could you, when you just went through the litany of ingredients in your product, but could you help the audience to understand if they wanted to find Bee Toffee online, tell us about your website and so that they can go themselves and find out more about your firm?
Absolutely. My website is www.beetoffee.com. We are actually launching our newly designed e-commerce site next month, but my existing site is up, and we are also on Facebook and Twitter, and we would love for you to visit and become a fan. I'm very excited with I know this could be a whole other topic, but the social media has been absolutely fabulous for Bee Toffee, and, you know, through my you know, the acknowledgement from the Orange County Business Journal and Metro Magazine and the Orange County Register, it's been incredible. So anybody questioning social media, Facebook, Twitter, you've got to do it. It's a necessity for your business. Absolutely.
Well, you know, we're putting together a special version of Critical Mass, the radio show, where we're going to bring on entrepreneurs who can speak from direct experience about the power of social media. So my producer and I just noted that you're a good panelist for that conversation, so I may be coming back to you not too distant future and asking you to be on to talk specifically about how you've used social media, Betsy.
I would love it. I would love it. I actually had a gal who teaches at Orange Coast College who teaches social media who had used me as an example, and I was so honored by that. I thought, wow, you know, I'm just starting out and learning all of this, and she, what, you know, had said that she was so impressed with how, you know, I had been doing it, and that was truly an honor, especially during that time when I was doing it all on my own. So I highly recommend it. Highly recommend it.
Well, the time has just gone by so quickly. I thoroughly have enjoyed learning from you and listening to this conversation, and I appreciate you giving so much information and insight from your perspective, and thanks for being prepared and kind of being a friend of the radio program, and welcome to our Critical Mass for Business community, Betsy Thackard.
Well, thank you so much, Rick. I really appreciate it, and I really appreciate your kind words about Bee Toffee. I'm so thrilled that you enjoy it, and I will definitely send you more of it. And I don't know if your producer's tasted it, but I'll send him some as well.
I didn't say that for that reason.
Oh, that's okay, though. I love it, and I will absolutely send some your way.
I'm piping up. I don't want Rick to cut me off here. I want to get some of that toffee.
That's our producer, Paul.
Absolutely. Right. You guys need to just send me the address where you would like it sent, and I will definitely send some out to you.
You can go right on our website, OC Talk Radio, and get our land address here, and we'll be happy to review it for you here.
Perfect, perfect. And
right.
Because of the hot weather, you're local, so we could even have it delivered, so we won't have to deal with the cool packs and the hot weather of it sitting in a FedEx FedEx truck for a little bit of time.
We're going to hold you to that. I'm looking for some toffee.
Okay, sounds great.
My producer is a foodie, so you've created a monster, Betsy. So I want to just thank you for your professionalism and the time that you spent with me today. I look forward to having you back on the program and continued success. I'm just so excited for you and your products. It's a wonderful thing. Have a good day, and thank you for being on Critical Mass, the radio show.
Thank you so much. Take care.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
You know, we try here on Critical Mass, the radio show, to bring to you guests from a variety of different size businesses, ages of businesses, and industries and sectors to help you to learn by virtue of their experience. And again, I want to hope that by listening and spending the time with us today, that you've taken away from the interview some ideas, regardless of the age and size and stage of your business, that you can implement or consider to make better business decisions based on what Betsy shared with us today. So this is Rick Franzi, host of Critical Mass, the radio show, saying until the next time we talk, here's hoping that all of your decisions move your business in a positive direction.
You're listening to some of the tastiest interviews in town, right here on OCTalkRadio.net with Critical Mass, the radio show.